So, I'm Barbara Schechter, with Denver Public Health. So welcome to Denver, and thanks for coming to this presentation. Today I'm going to talk about, and I feel like I'm a perfect follow-up to Amanda. I'm going to talk about a system that we're using at Denver Health to improve service and increase satisfaction, not just of our patients, but our customers and our staff. And that's allowing us to do more with existing resources. So it sounds like a magic bullet. Okay. It sounds like a magic bullet, but it's really just an extraordinary tool that gets some pretty significant results. And obviously I'm not pushing the right thing to get, what's the click? Yeah, okay. All right. And I have no financial status, let alone a relationship. Completely useless. So, what is this system? It's called Lean. And Toyota has been using the Lean improvement system for about 50 years. And they use it daily on the as part of their actual daily on the floor production. And what is it? It's a system of continuous improvement, something you do every day, as well as something that you have special events to focus on improving your systems. And what's the goal of this improvement system? It's really to improve value. And here, value is defined by what our customers, whether we call them patients or clients or customers or whatever, what they're receiving. So, how do you improve their sense of value? In Lean, we call that eliminating waste. Now, this all sounds kind of mysterious, so let's do this. Let's break it down into separate parts and kind of talk through each of the parts. That'll help. So, Lean started back about the same time when you could get any car you wanted in this country, so long as it was a black Model T. You had lots of choice, and Toyota came to Detroit and said, wow, this is a major step forward, this whole notion of a production line, an assembly line. And it really was a remarkable change. But what Toyota realized was that you could do even more with that radical improvement by innovating. And the way to innovate was to really turn to the people who were doing the work. And those people could improve the flow and increase the value. So what's this notion of value? Value is measured not by us. Wait, there's not enough room for all of these objects, like canes and boots and, okay. Value is really something that you see from the customer's perspective, not ours. It's not what we think they should have, but what they're willing to pay for. So, in public health, would our customers pay for clean air? Yeah, probably. Would they pay for a birth certificate? Are you asleep? You could nod. This would be very reassuring to me that you were. Okay, probably. Would they pay to wait in the waiting room for 45 minutes? Not so much. Would they pay to have to come back with a different set of documents to prove who they were? Not so much. So you get the picture. What we're trying to do is measure value based on what they want and figure out how to give them that. So the customer's perspective on value, and here are some examples of it, makes for happier customers or patients or clients, whatever we call them. It improves, if we use this improvement process, it improves the quality and quantity of the service we provide. And what we've also discovered is it makes the staff significantly happier. We really improve everybody's life, and what's to argue with then, if that's true? So how do we get this value? It has two parts, really. One is defining what the customer wants, not what we want to give them, but what they want, and then getting the right process in place to deliver that value, okay? So let's talk about what the customer wants. And to do that, we're going to talk about watermelons. Okay, so here is a real situation. And a real conflict, right? We have, everybody wants watermelons, and watermelons are a problem. So what are our choices? We can either go, oh, well, we're screwed. There's nothing we can do about this, and throw up our hands, which is often what we do when a problem seems really hard. Or we can say, well, you know, let's life, guys. I mean, watermelons, you're watermelons. You either, I mean, take them as they are, or don't buy watermelons. Buy cantaloupe. Or we can change the way we think about the problem. Ta-da! Okay? What this, and this is true, this is really a real example, okay? What the Lean Improvement System does is say, stop thinking about how you've always done it and start thinking about how it would bring value to the customer, however you define your customer. And so what they did was what you see here. And essentially what that says is you, the service provider, have to change the way you think about what you're providing. You can't ask your customer to change the way they think about what it is they want and need. Is that making sense? Okay, great. So that's the first step, defining what the customer wanted, which was a watermelon that also saved space that would fit in the fridge. That's the first step. The second step is, how do we get our process right to deliver what they want? Okay, so in the Lean Improvement System, what you do is you lay out your process and you figure out how to eliminate all the waste in that process, all the things that your customer isn't willing to pay you to do, okay? All right, so in Lean, we call that UWDMOP. There are 8 wastes in the Lean Production System, and I love this thing because it talks about stuff and, you know, that kind of, everybody knows what stuff is. So here are the examples of the 8 wastes, things that nobody would pay you to do. Let me give you a couple of examples. Unused human talent. This is when you've got a medical assistant answering the telephone. Or you've got a clinic clerk who could give people information, but you haven't written a script for them and you don't trust them to make up stuff. So you've got people overqualified or underqualified or are under-resourced to do a job. Another one of my favorites is the motion one. We call this go-get. All right, oh, I gotta go get that thing, you know, that we need. Oh, I gotta go get the form. You're always having to go get before you can do the thing that you're supposed to be doing. And one of the results of the go-get phenomenon is that you then have another waste, which is overproduction and hoarding. You start putting piles of the thing you have to go get here, and then you have to walk around that pile, and then in 2 weeks you discover that those forms, they've been out of date for 3 weeks, but you're still using them. So those are the kinds of things that are wastes that our clients aren't willing to pay us to do, that we all do a lot of. The last one, processing, is another good example. We always send a copy of this form to Jerry. We always have. We send this copy to Jerry. Or you know, we don't trust accounting to give us those numbers. They can never get them on time. So we set up a workaround system to get our own numbers. You know how that goes? Okay. We have to report this to OSHA. Now, there are some things, like always sending it to Jerry, where I don't know why we do that. We have to look at that one. There's some like, why are we doing our own numbers? Where's accounting at the table here with us to solve this? And then there's reporting to OSHA. And you know what? Our customers may not be willing to pay us to report to OSHA, but we're always going to have to do it. So there's some wastes we will never be able to eliminate. We just have to know the difference between the ones that we have to do and the ones that we've always done. So what's the process for getting rid of your waste? This is the process of lean. And what you do is you get the right people together. And who are the right people? They're not just the people with the big titles in the corner offices who make all the big, the only important decisions in an organization. It's actually driven by the people who do the work. You get the right people in the room, the people who do the work, the people who will be impacted by a change in the process. In other words, we have this brilliant idea that we're going to change this, but wow, without the accounting people there, we're going to mess them up great. Or without the IT people there, we can't really do this without them. And we need enough of the people in the corner office that we can actually make decisions. And so if you get those right people together in the right setting, and in Lean, that right setting is called a rapid improvement event, and you use the right tools, and there are gazillions of them, and you have someone help guide you through that process, which in Lean are known as black belts. And at Denver Health, we have 450 trained black belts. In public health, we have four black belts who are working with our various departments on this Lean improvement process. You get them all together, and you do an RIE, an event to help you move forward. Okay, so this is what an RIE looks like. These are the days of the RIE. And there are a bunch of key elements here. One is that it's a scripted process. It's not just free form chaos, although there's a lot of wonderful creative chaos involved, but it's not a group of people meeting for 18 months who talk about whether we should talk about getting to a solution. It's not that at all. It's getting the right people in the room and giving them 5 days where every day is defined what you're going to accomplish that day, giving them targets, measurements, outcomes, and they have to report out on a regular basis. So guess what? Things actually change. It's rapid. We say, going into this week, by the end of this week, we are going to have changed our process, and we're going to sustain that when we're done. So, metrics. Okay, what is it we're measuring? Because you can't talk about, oh, we're going to make it better. You know, people are good. It's just going to be better. How do you know if it's better? So what you do is have to set metrics. We're going to see 10 patients per provider per day. Or we will answer a customer's hotline call within 3 rings. Or we will fully register a client in our online system within 7 minutes. Or whatever the metric would be. But you establish a metric. And then what you do is figure out how to get there. Figure out ways to achieve those metrics and figure out ways to change your process. You try rapid experiments. You don't talk about, oh, well, it might work. You actually make it work. You go into the workplace and say, hey, let's see what happens if we change our registration form. Hey, let's see what happens if we, instead of stacking all this stuff in the corner under the sink, behind the closet, if we moved it out and set it up where you could actually get it instead of having to go get it. You try these rapid experiments, and you create a production board. A production board shows what your metrics are, and it has everybody up there. So what it says is, if we're going to do 10 patients per provider per day, it has every day and every provider, and it shows the number of the patients that they saw. And when you have a production board that everybody's on, you get everybody on board. Because people go, ooh, wow, well, I can do that too. I can see 10 per day. And all of a sudden, there's this sense, this new sense of energy that comes. So I guess in some ways, if you look at this, it seems pretty tightly controlled. And I suppose it is, but what happens is that when you get the right people in the room, there's this enormous sense of empowerment. Because what you said to them is, by Friday, you're going to report out what you did, why it works, and how you're going to sustain it, and how it's going to be our process from now on. And when you give people permission like that, and you get the right people there, it happens. So there's this energetic chaos that's guided by these black belts, and the goal is to produce the right process. How do you know if you have the right process? Well, we all think we know what our process is. We all go, oh yeah, I know how. We get an invoice, we send it to accounting, accounting pays it, the check goes out. Bingo, we all think that that's the process. And we say, oh yeah, it's only four steps. Well, the amazing thing is, it's very often not at all like we think it is. So what lean production improvement allows you to do is to create what's known as an A3, which I realize is an incredibly sexy title, so try to be brave here. An A3 is actually a size of paper, and what you do is you create 9 blocks on this A3 size paper, and this is what you put in each of the 9 blocks. Why? Because it keeps you focused, because it avoids that, let's talk about what we're going to talk about for 18 months. It says, these are the 9 things we are going to do. So it keeps people on track. Toyota's been using this A3 format for a lot of years. They take it to the production floor every day and do one of these every day. You start with the reason for action, whatever that is, and it needs to be concrete. We are going to increase the number of patients we see in our STD clinic by 25% every day. Or something else. I mean, whatever you choose, it needs to be measurable, because otherwise you don't know if you've succeeded. And you fill in the other blocks as you go. Okay, so you can often start with the first one, and then you think, oh yeah, we know what our initial condition is. We see X, or we do this, or we send that paper to accounting, and it magically gets paid. What we found is, in fact, you have no idea what's really going on. No idea at all. So what happens is you go into this room with the right people, and you begin to map what is the top left, which is your current state, working towards the bottom right, which is your future state. Now, in the olden days, when we first started this at Denver Health back in 2006, we used to try to do this on butcher paper. But what we discovered is you can't do it without stickies. And I realized that, wait, did I say I had no financial? Maybe 3M, but... Because what you discover is everybody in the room thinks, how can you have devoted a whole morning to figure out what our current state is? I could describe it in 15 minutes. And what I always say to people is, okay, hang in there with me. In 12 and a half minutes, I will guarantee you all of us will go, we have no idea. And that's exactly what happens. So if you start mapping it out and writing out every step of your process, you keep moving the stickies, because you keep forgetting, and then you go, oh, but what about when it goes to Marianne? Marianne always has, so we use yellow stickies to do it, and we map it out. And when you map it out, what you discover is that you don't know what the process is, that only collectively does everybody bring their perspective on the process. Excuse me. And then you discover all these opportunities. You can see the difference between our current state and our future state. This was a real one that we actually did. And how complex the process is in our current environment, and how by working as a team, we smooth that out into a much more simplified process. What lean production has discovered is that no matter who you are and no matter what your process is, 90% of what you're doing is waste. I know it's like, oh, that can't be true. I'm so valuable. Everything I do is important. You know what? 90% of what our process is waste. Not you. It's not the value of the people. It's that the process has 90% of it is waste. And so our goal is to get rid of that waste, because not only is the customer happier, but so are we as employees. Okay, so you go through this process of mapping that out together as a team, and then you finish the other sections in your A3. I won't bore you with long descriptions of what those are. The target condition is we're seeing 25% more patients in our STD clinic every day. The solution approach is essentially squaring up the watermelons. What are we going to use as our tool to see those? Well, I guess we could hand every STD patient a square watermelon, but you might have something slightly more relevant. What your experiments are, the things that you're doing on the spot, and what you still need to do by the end of the week to make this happen. We also always follow up. There are 30, 60, and 90-day follow-ups to make sure that we're sustaining what we're doing, and we write this all up into what's known as standard work. We also always, as a team, learn a lot, and those insights are what we collect. And when it's all done, what we have is, that's a completed A3. That's a really complicated one, and it's like, wow, was that worth it? Well, the answer is, when you can put everything, the problem, the goal, the steps, and the solution on one piece of paper, you really have identified what the problem is. Because oftentimes the hardest part of solving a problem is that nobody knows what the problem is. Nobody knows what the goal is. And when you can only put it on one piece of paper, you really have to have it clear and stated clearly. So how have we been using this in a public health environment? I'm going to give you an example of that. I'm just going to use TB as our example, the blogger having blogged today about the situation about TB. It's a nice coincidence. So we did one rapid improvement event to improve patient flow. Let me give you an example of the kinds of thinking, the places where we were stuck and the kind of things we were able to think through. So we have all these providers who start work at 8 o'clock. The clinic opens at 7:30. There's one registration clerk. There are lots of ways to do this. You can have every appointment start at 8 o'clock. That's one way. Great plan, except for you got all this bunching in the waiting room. And I'm like really pissed because I'm the fourth person in line. And I'm like, my appointment was at 8 o'clock. I'm standing there, and if it takes you 7 minutes or 5 minutes to register each patient, I'm standing there for 15 minutes. I'm annoyed. Plus, your providers are waiting for patients. So what do? We come as a team and we go, wow, if the thing opens at 7:30, we don't want to check them in at 7:30, then they're waiting for a provider for half an hour. What would happen if we had the first appointment at 7:50 at 7:55, the second one at 7:55, 8 o'clock, 8:05, and 8:10. By 8:15, every single patient is in with a provider. Every provider's busy. Okay, you get the picture, right? So that's the kind of thing that results from this kind of working together to create a better flow. We did there are lots of things we worked on and figured out during this process. That was just one example. We did another one that wasn't about patients, it was about back office stuff. Everybody knows who deals with TB patients that in the olden days, remember when we took x-rays? Do you remember what x-rays were? Okay. So we've got these warehouses of x-rays. I mean, in Denver, we see Denver Public Health provides TB treatment for all of the surrounding counties here. So we've got a boatload of x-rays. So what do you do with those? Well, one theory, as you move to an automated system, one theory is you push them all. You push them all through the system and you convert every x-ray into this new online PAC system that allows you to read x-rays online. No, that really is waste. What we did was say we will let the patients pull their x-rays with them through the process. So today on the patient, okay, we'll pull Barbara's x-rays and we'll convert them today because her appointment is tomorrow. So we let the patient pull the flow rather than pushing all those x-rays through, and we saved ourselves from doing 10 bazillion gratuitous wasteful things of converting x-rays. It was a just-in-time system, and did all of this kind of stuff make a difference? It really did. There were significant improvements for both the patients and the staff. The staff get real excited during the process of the RIE because they're at the table, and all those things that drive them crazy come out, and they are the most creative about finding the solutions. So it's also beneficial for the patients or the clients or the customers, because the things that they're not willing to pay for, we've tried to take out of our system. And when we've got a system that we think works, we write it up. We create what's known as standard work. And standard work is something that we all agree we're going to do. So it's not I do it one way, and you do it another way, and you do it a third way, and no one ever knows who's accountable, and everything is done. We all agree that the best way to get a patient in the door and through the system is, when I say goodbye to you from this appointment, I say, next time you're here, we're going to need to get a sputum sample, we're going to need to send you to x-ray, we're going to need to... And so that goes in your record. We all agree. We all hand you the appointment reminder in your language. I don't know how treating TB is in your part of the world, but here we serve TB patients in as many as 27 different languages. So we hand you an appointment reminder in your language that's already been pre-printed. We already have a word-free map that sends you from our building next door to x-ray so that you know how to get there without our having to have signs in 27 different languages. If you agree to what standard work is, there are fewer mistakes, there's better flow, and everybody wins. As a result, there's a lot more satisfaction, both for the customers and for the staff. Now, in all the years we've been doing this at Denver Health, which is since 2006, there's been a total savings, hard dollar savings. And our chief financial officer doesn't let us report squishy things. So hard financial dollar savings of $60 million, which is significant. No jobs get lost as a result of this. We allocate our resources. Often people do different things than they used to, and hopefully they're doing things that are more satisfying to them. We often don't fill vacancies because we find a way that works better. So, lean works because it is a journey. It is not one time, oh God, we fixed that. Oh, we never have to do that again, thank God. It is a continual journey. We're always doing the improvements. It also works because it's very collegial. It gets the people who are part of the process involved in finding the solutions. So thank you for listening, and I will look forward to questions at the end.